Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We come to you in the midst of a global pandemic and Finn Russell has forgotten his conference call. Dial in details. We are here for the breakfast show after a bit of a false start on Tuesday. Alan, how are you, bud?
Yeah, good. Upset that Matt's been revealing sort of my deepest, darkest secrets, like publicly on Twitter.
And this was that you thought in the national anthem when everyone shouts against who, they were shouting guess who.
Until 2015,
but now you know.
Now I do know.
I thought it was an interesting, as I said, interesting fact.
I think it is interesting.
No one ever taught me what to sing when I was younger. And so I, as a 10-year-old, just assumed that it was guess who. Yeah. And just decided not to challenge it or ever to actually mention this to anyone publicly for my whole life until 2015.
I suppose it is quite logical. It's like, guess who? Oh, Proud Edwards Army. Yeah, fair enough. There they are.
Imagine those are the actual lyrics to your national anthem, though.
It's a nice big reveal. And Matt's here as well. You guys have been following us an awful lot on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram. Alan's reign of terror of the memes continues. Thistle_rugby_pod. And we have got a very special email in the mailbag, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Old Glory DC's The Monument Man has been in touch after they have been ripping it up in Major League Rugby. So we will come back to that. So we've been away for a couple of weeks. And I suppose the only bit of news in town is that our successful campaign, an official takeover of Chris Dean is complete. We are the official owners of Chris Dean.
We're the official owners of his home jersey. I didn't even realize that they were splitting it home and away. I assumed that we'd get the full package. Yeah,
I didn't realize that until right now.
What? Yeah, we are the sponsors of his home jersey.
I prefer the home to the away, to be fair.
Someone else. Yeah, no, obviously you want home over away. Yeah. And to be fair, I did think they might just give us a final sandbag and just give us the away shirt instead.
No, they were very good about it. They realized that the people had spoken. The will of the people.
So we get just like our faces on the front of his jersey then? Is that how it works?
I think if Edinburgh make the Pro 14 final, we replace the main sponsor on the front of Chris Dean's jersey. I think that was the terms and conditions that we spoke about with Edinburgh, so... Sorry to Denton's, what? The international law firm. Or
Principal and Prosper.
Principal and Prosper, of course. Yeah.
What do we actually get?
I think we get a home jersey signed by a worn.
A worn jersey.
A worn.
Who the hell is getting in that?
I don't know. I don't think any of us are getting in that.
It might be bigger than we think, though.
Yeah.
Don't we also get presented that jersey at the sort of end of season?
Yeah, we get invited to a do.
Yeah.
There's a do.
Well, that was it. I only saw there was only two invites, though.
Oh, is there?
Oh, dear.
Well, we'll have to take that up with the Edinburgh...
Yeah, I know.
Edinburgh Marketing Department. We will be in touch this morning to thrash out the details of that.
How about to decide? We do like a run-it challenge with Christine. So all of us, each of us has to tackle Christine, and whoever gets knocked out the worst doesn't go.
Sounds like literally the worst thing of all time.
You always say you can like tackle... Like the man in the door, so
yeah. If I had
Christine, should be fine.
If I had to,
yeah, exactly. What's on the line here? End of season, do. come on now.
Got a bit of a sore shoulder, mate. I can't put myself on the line like that.
No, exactly. So yeah, we get it's a nice little package. So we will be at the do at the end of the year, which is good fun.
Yeah, no, great.
Looking forward to it. And he's now officially called the Thistle Rugby Pod's Christine.
So it doesn't get like announced at the stadium, does it?
No. I think when he runs on, yeah. I don't know who does the announcements at the stadium, but we should make them do that.
Yeah. Someone did tweet that when he came on, there was a chant of Thistle Rugby Pods Christine. I can't clarify.
Didn't someone say the sweet... I think we got tweeted. Someone said, yeah, someone did shout, the sweet prince has returned. I'd like to buy that guy a beer.
That makes me so happy.
So yeah, we're influencing... we're right at the heart of Edinburgh Rugby now. The heart and soul.
But no one really understands it, I don't think.
I don't think so. I'm not sure we really understand where it all came from. It's kind of snowballed, but we're very, very happy about it. So, Chris, welcome. Welcome to our team. Welcome along. We will be in touch to discuss specific details soon enough. But there's been a couple of people leaving Edinburgh, and before the pod, we were discussing how to announce this person's name, and I've just written it down phonetically, so... Peter Lemoncello and Jack Stanley have left Edinburgh with immediate effect.
Do you think you know how to say it?
I think it's Cecciarelli.
Cecciarelli.
I think so.
Sorello.
You said Sorello, then like Lemoncello.
Peter Cilantro.
Cilantro.
Peter Cilantro is off to Brive and Jack Stanley is off to Gloucester. So they've left with immediate effect. All the best, lads. Leone Nakawara is out for a big chunk of time, out for about the next 6 weeks, which is not good news for Glasgow, considering they also got absolutely pumped last weekend by Leinster. Do you think it's going under the radar how good Leinster are?
I still just don't know if Leinster are that good.
What, or if the rest of the division is just... so much worse.
Just so budget. Like, I mean, ultimately, that is like a Leinster C team. And, you know, as I said, this was my position at lunchtime on Friday. So I put money on Glasgow to win the match. Glasgow to win the match with a 3-11 point advantage. I also had George Turner to score a try. I also had points to stay under 35 in total and 30 in total.
What are you up to?
I thought it was going to rain and I thought Glasgow were going to win.
Oh, that gambling habit's kind of hitting you hard, isn't it, these days?
When I've got nothing.
Sucking
you
in.
When your life is empty, right? But
it was a Glasgow team that, as you say, had like George Horn, Pete Horn, Tommy Seymour, Kyle Stain, Ryan Wilson, Matt Fagerson, George Turner, Sayuli.
Yeah, it's a decent size.
That's a good team. It's not a kind of real scratch. So
yeah, versus, you know, and ultimately Leinster do have class in like James Lowe, and you know, Luke McGrath and Scott Fardy. But ultimately, I reckon 99% of Scottish rugby fans couldn't name half of that team.
And I think surely like Pro 14 and international experience, Glasgow would have the upper hand by miles.
100%. You got like Harley and Swinson in the row, which must be like 400 Glasgow caps between them.
Yeah. I wonder if just those sort of players, like when the new breed of academy guys come through and they're like on form, just can't quite live with them.
No,
like
I know.
This Leinster second row running in that try.
And yeah, oh my God. That Ryan Baird guy is an absolute freak show. But it's a bit strange because I think one of the things we've always talked about is I think we are all in agreement that Pete Horn isn't an international sort of 10 or 12, but is an incredibly strong kind of pro 14, 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think we've been happy that with Adam Hastings out of the team, that we've got Pete Horn in there to kind of cover the 10 position.
Yeah, in the fallow periods as well.
Yeah.
And he has, against like Zebra and the likes, he is very, very good.
Yeah.
But he was all over the shop.
especially what was the first half. Issue? Just they're overall? Just
a mix of like just simple skills, like so many times between sort of the Horns, Grigg, Seymour and Jones, they were just sort of dropping the ball or people were kind of overrunning their lines. And then at the same time, there was kind of pockets, especially in the first half, where kind of Glasgow were kind of getting their groove and making yards. And then just structurally, it just sort of break down a little bit. Because that was kind of frustrating. Sort of like, you know, first 50 minutes, whilst Glasgow were, you know, one or two tries down that whole time, I actually think it was like a relatively even game. Mm. Like Glasgow were sort of missing chances and they, you know, obviously when Kyle Steyn scored that pretty wonder try just after the second half, I was like, I still think there's a chance for the Warriors if they score next, they're going to stay in this. And then for some reason, between 50 and 80, just Leinster are A, unbelievably clinical, but B, just some of the kind of defensive structure and just first up tackles from Glasgow was like pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
And it was actually quite, it's almost like a bit sad to see that it did feel in that second half like kind of Glasgow's heads went down a little bit. And ultimately in the last sort of 30 minutes, what, Leinster scored 30 points?
Yeah.
Which is pretty, with that, as you said, with that level of experience. Well,
like, that's the thing. It's not as if that was like a Leinster sort of crack squad going out there.
Yeah.
But a good win for Edinburgh.
Yeah, and top of the conference and absolutely flying high.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I mean, I think a lot of people would be disappointed looking at that result on paper, but Cardiff being a bit of a bogey team for Edinburgh in the last couple of years at Murrayfield, actually.
It is exactly the sort of miserable, freezing cold, bad weather conditions that Edinburgh would have lost.
Yeah.
In basically the last like 10 years. That is a classic Edinburgh loss at home.
Yeah.
But they ground it out. I think Cockers was quite right afterwards, being like, that was minging. We didn't play very well, but we got a win.
Yeah. And I would be more concerned if that had been sort of like the general standard of performance in the last few weeks, but it feels like a bit of
their second favourites to win the Pro 14.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, if they keep it going, they're going to have semi-final at home. And I kind of struggled, but I mean, probably struggle to see them. Who would it be against?
Semi-final at home with all of their Scotland boys back.
Yeah, I kind of struggled. Apart from Leinster, you'd probably back them to win that match.
Yeah.
Don't know if I see them beating Leinster in a final there.
Where's the final this year?
Cardiff Farms Park. Good day trip, though.
That's true.
A very good day trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does feel like with, especially this weekend, they didn't have Matt Scott, Bennett, kind of Kinghorn or Graham. It feels like the kind of their attack is slightly blunted.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've still got Van der Meer, who just kind of like murders people.
Van der Meer?
Van der Merver, whatever his name. But it does feel like they're sort of kind of retracting back into kind of that forwards-oriented play because they just don't have enough out in the backs or aren't able to kind of develop anything.
Although you have mentioned him, Duhan Van der Merver. He tops both clean breaks and defenders beaten by an absolute mile in the Pro 14.
Yeah.
27 clean breaks, the closest is 18. Defenders beaten 61, the closest is 49. Matt Scott is third and fourth in those respective tables as well.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, so Matt Scott, 16 defenders beaten and 16 clean breaks, 34 defenders beaten. Mark Bennett, fourth, 15 clean breaks, not as many defenders beaten.
Interesting. No, I can't wait to see him in a Scotland jersey. Especially if his debut is going to be against South Africa away.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Which will be a bit of a strange one, but no, it'll be absolute class.
That will be awesome.
I do wonder if South Africa this summer are just going to like do the ultimate fuck you move and just swipe in and take him.
And Schoeman as well. I think Schoeman would do well in a South Africa camp.
Yeah. Like, and Schoeman's still got, what, another 2 or 3 years?
And he bangs on, he's like, oh yeah, it's my dream to play for Scotland now. South Africa, I'm calling. Like,
yeah.
He's off.
He's gone.
Yeah.
And everybody's favourite Scottish rugby team, Old Glory DC, are 4 games in to Major League Rugby. They've won 3, lost 1. There are actually 3 on the bounce. They beat the Austin Gilgronis 28-19 at the weekend. And as I said, the Monument Man has been in touch with a few highlights from that. He says, the top notes from the game, we scored more points. We are a bunch of hairy-chested victory men. We are awesome. Squeaky bum time, he says. The boys do not do their absolute best to give me a weekly heart attack. We were 23-7 up and up the at the halftime, but then the bad guys got back in. We do that now. He then says the watching notes are, we are a really fun team to watch.
Watching notes.
He says the watching notes, we're a really fun team to watch. If you like Helter Skelter, run it from everywhere, but kick the points when they're on offer rugby. The OGs are the team for you. Come be an Old Glory supporter. I think he's preaching to the converted there.
If I'm in Washington, that's my first.
Oh, first stop. They are playing away at Rugby Atlanta this weekend.
Road trip.
Yeah, I reckon we could go. Be great to go to Atlanta to watch the boys.
If the owners of Old Glory DC want us to go over the weekend,
special report.
Live pod from Washington.
I will do a live pod from Washington. All expenses need to be paid.
Yes.
Let's be clear. But yeah, Old Glory. So, you know, the SRU's investment is looking very good. The Beast has started all the games.
No, the Beast hasn't played yet.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah,
has he played? Yeah, I thought he just kept saying that he had like muscle soreness.
No, he has played. He has played, yeah. Maybe not all the
games. Need to watch like a live game. Stanley be like running through everyone.
I'm on the...
I just don't know if he's even that sort of player though that at that level would run through everyone.
Yeah, I think he would. He's such a beast. He's not like a sort of... He's not like VP Nell, is he? Like, he's not just like a scummaging prop.
But then he's not like a Carl Sinclair that like would just destroy that level.
I think he kind of is.
Nah, he's not got that pace.
Never heard his name being Kyle Sinclair.
Yeah, I know. His name? Sinclair.
Sinclair. Never heard that pronunciation.
What's his first name?
Kyle.
What's the issue?
Well, how do you think you pronounce his second name?
Sinclair.
Literally, mate. You need checked out.
What's his last name?
Sinclair. There's no S-T. It's S-I-N.
All right. Does seem that that Major League Rugby is covered by American TV, so you'll probably be able to find a legal stream online somewhere. Not that we endorse that.
Matt Nonu got on the team of the week for last week. Kind
Did
of
he?
Thought, like,
have you seen
the point?
Seen the nick of Bassero? Oh my god!
He got absolutely. You see the video of him getting absolutely on his debut. He's playing eight now. He took some short ball, and to be fair, some lad absolutely murdered him.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair play to him.
I suppose they've got a bit of a target on their chest, haven't they? Like the ex.
Yeah, the big
internationals.
The big players, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, shall we move on to talk about Scotland? France coming to Murrayfield this Sunday.
Sold out BT Murrayfield.
France coming to sold out BT Murrayfield on Sunday. You're welcome, Dodson. On Sunday, Scotland coming off the back of a decent, solid win against Italy in Rome. Matt, you were about 15 pints deep. How was it?
It was good. The first time I've been there, it's incredible. Stadium. Yeah. And it was an absolute glorious day as well. And just walking into the stadium and walking past all the little sort of beer trucks and stuff. And there were loads of Scotland fans.
That walk from the centre of town to the stadium was great.
And it genuinely felt almost like a home game. Bit disappointing that, I don't know if you saw it on the TV, but it wasn't full at all.
Yeah, I saw
like
that.
Like most of the top tier was empty.
What do you think the split was, Scotland Italian fans?
Hard to say. I mean, we were probably in the Scotland bit, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It felt like Scotland fans were just as vocal as the Italians.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if the Italian fans just like kind of get a bit apathetic about the whole thing.
I guess the issue is, isn't it, that always that actually it's Northern Italy that's the rugby heartland.
Yeah,
and actually in Rome.
Exactly.
So,
and I think it was the day afterwards in like the leading Italian sports paper. The report in the game was, the headline was, why do we even do this?
Yes, we always
really? It was along those lines. It was like, what's the point?
It's we always lose, so what's the point of playing type thing, yeah.
But I think in terms, I don't know.
CVC money.
Yeah.
Just hang on in for that money.
Yeah.
It seems as if like the overall game in a lot of quarters was talked about as being pretty, or a very dire affair. I thought it was okay.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Having at the match, but maybe it was just sort of a few individual moments of brilliance and just, you know, getting the win, keeping Italy to zero.
I think that was the biggest point. Obviously, Hogg's try aside, which was an absolute world in shows.
We were at that corner, actually. Oh, it was class.
Just shows that when he does the little hitch kick and does the 15, is unreal.
Going beating a 15 completely on the outside these days is a rare thing as well.
Yeah. It was so good.
And you kind of thought that Hogg, you know, he's getting older. That's the kind of thing he'd do like 5 years ago. To still be able to do that.
Me and Alan had a couple of lager shandies. We were like, cheers, Stuart Hogg. Well done, you.
Damn right. The only way to do it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he looks slower. That, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's deceptive. Like, he's jazz.
Yeah.
So great. Aside from that, there was the moments that Scotland were very good at repelling Italy sort of in our own 20, on our own 5 meter line. They felt there was a few very good defensive sets that kept them to zero.
Yeah.
And granted, it is Italy and we've let in tries, but we've only let in 2 tries over 3 Six Nations games. That is a pretty decent return.
Yeah. Mm. It kind of felt like it was a professional job. It's like, right, we know this is going to be a tough match. It's not going to be, might not be that pretty. Italy, like, good at spoiling things, but got the job done. I mean, arguably, there's a few chances they didn't take as well, which put a lot more gloss on the scoreline. Yeah. And Hastings missed a lot of kicks.
Yeah.
There's still that clinical edge that Scotland will be missing in this Six Nations, particularly in that Ireland game. The fact that we had so much of the ball and so much. Yeah. And there were just a few moments, like Adam Hastings made a really nice break at one point, got into the Italian, just before the Italian 22, and then like chucked a kind of, you know, like wonder pass. And I just feel like either you hold on to that or you've got someone in support. Like, those are the chances that Scotland need to be finishing and taking that forward into the rest of the tournament.
And speaking of the rest of the tournament, France come to Murrayfield unbeaten at the weekend. The team will probably be announced later today. It's Thursday morning. Team will be announced probably around about London. No.
Even if it's a Sunday kickoff?
It'll be tomorrow, Friday, actually. Yeah. It'll be Friday. So we might as well just tell you the team now. Or as we understand it to be. Not many changes other than Grant Gilchrist coming in for Ben Toulis in the second row and Nick Haining coming back at number 8 for Magnus Bradbury, which is what we've been hearing. We're not too sure about the back line yet.
I don't trust the source.
You've got to trust the source.
The source has been 100% right.
I know he's been 100% right, but I can't believe it. I just don't see where Haining's coming from. Because he didn't even play. I don't think he even... Did he play for Edinburgh last weekend?
Yes.
Did he start?
I think he played at 6. And Mata played at 8.
Gotcha. I'll shut my fucking mouth then.
You should. You absolutely should.
Yeah, I maybe get swapping the second rows at slight horses of courses. I get the sense that Toulis was in for Italy mainly for the line-out. Yeah. The line-out was very good.
I thought he had a good game, actually.
I mean, it's kind of harsh to... Because I think there was a sense that after the England game, the lineup wasn't good enough, but that was in, like, a monsoon.
Yeah, Fraser Brown.
Yeah, but...
But it was, I guess, whoever was calling it and kept...
Yeah, it's not
telling
always
Fraser
the
Brown.
It's not always the hooker's fault, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors.
But I find the Haining one really strange. Like, I just don't know why you'd sort of... Pick him, drop him. I mean, I actually understand why he was picked initially, and then Bradbury comes in.
Yeah.
Like, right up, fair enough. Like, Nick Haining, you're probably harshly hard done by there, but you'll still sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And just to completely sub him out, I mean, maybe Bradbury's not fit fully. I don't know.
We've been told by one person that he's going to be on the bench, and been told by someone else that Matt Ferguson's on the bench.
Yeah.
So that is potentially the case that he's not fit.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say is probably the most impressive number 8 performance from Scotland during the Six Nations is probably the first half of that Ireland game,
which
from
was
Nick Haining.
Yeah.
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 You know, if you're being completely fair,
you're
based
right
on performance. But I agree, it just seems sort of a little.
Because I thought Bradbury had a good game against Italy as well.
Yeah, but then...
Not that good, but it is only...
He was kind of overshined by Watson and Ritchie, who were sort of all over the place.
It was a bit surprising as well, as you'd think, because Watson and Ritchie and Bradbury and a lot of the players were managing to get kind of half breaks and gaps, kind of just one or two out from the ruck.
Mm.
And that felt like that should be like, that's Magnus Bradbury's bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
That's like where he operates. So it was surprising that Ritchie and Watson were kind of slightly more standout.
I think Bradbury. I get the sense, and you said it before, that I think Bradbury's been told, like, you're there to sort of soften up defences.
Yeah.
And you should run at people.
Yeah.
And I think he's sort of taken that on board, particularly in the last like year or so. I think he thinks of himself as like a battering ram. Johnny Beattie said it as well. He called him like a meathead.
Meathead, yeah.
I kind of think like that's there's a place to that, but you know, use a bit of footwork, or you don't want to run it.
Well, maybe there's a place
shoulders.
For
you want to run it arms.
Maybe there's a place for it, and maybe the place isn't against France, who've got an absolutely monstrous pack, and it would just be ineffective.
But there's the one thing about Nick Haining is I do think, you know, seeing the fact he literally used to be like a winger.
Yeah,
he does have that footwork element, so he doesn't have the size of a Bradbury or probably even like a Matt Ferguson, but he does have really, really good footwork going into content.
Great content.
What do we think of this French team? Obviously unbeaten and top of the Six Nations team. In parts, they've looked absolutely phenomenal, but there have been times when they've looked quite French. How do you think they're feeling about coming to Murrayfield?
I think they'll be pretty confident. I think particularly with those young halfbacks who...
Intermac is great.
And Dupont's just...
Yeah.
I could just kind of see like Dupont just making mincemeat of Ali Price.
I think Dupont's
such a better player.
Intermac.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, he's just so
I just,
good.
But I kind of get the sense that Dupont and Intermac have kind of come through at a time of French rugby where they are very used to winning games.
Yeah.
Like they at under 20 level, they won a lot of games. That's Intermac was in the team that won the overall World Cup. I think Dupont was a bit older.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been playing in a Toulouse team that's like the strongest it's been in a long time, and now they're playing for France and they're winning the majority of games. So I don't think going to Murrayfield isn't... I mean, they've just been to the Millennium, the Principality and won. It's not going to sort of overshadow them.
Yeah. The French obviously haven't won since 2014 at Murrayfield.
Yeah.
Is that right? So they would have lost 2016, 2018 and then World Cup warm-up.
World Cup warm-up, yeah.
So three in a row.
I mean, that's the thing that I think there's a sort of stereotype that French players are like very brittle, but unless like Galtier has completely changed them overnight, there is still that element. And I think they're,
Sean Edwards has.
Sorry?
Sean
Well, Edwards. He might have actually. But actually, I was reading about this. France have conceded like 7 tries.
Yeah.
They've actually conceded quite a lot of tries.
And it's
kind of the way they play, I think, that they're a bit more open and they score a lot of tries as well. But maybe I think there might be... I think they would be far more up for the game at the Principality than Murrayfield because I think they'd see it as far more of a challenge.
Yeah.
And I think Sean Edwards would have been putting a lot of importance on that game.
That's a very good point, yeah.
There's a potential that they sort of slightly underestimate Scotland. Scotland are due like a proper performance where they click.
I feel like we've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, but it has sometimes come under Gregor Townsend and it has come at home.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe this team is almost like decline, but I just feel like Scotland, as I say, haven't clicked yet. And if they can click, then I think they've got enough to beat this French team.
Well, there you go. A rare bit of positivity. Alan, do you want to balance that out?
Yeah, I mean, if the French turn up and play as well as they did in probably the first half against England and in patches against Wales, I don't think Scotland have enough to compete with them. But the French do very rarely do that from home, right? And I think if Scotland can dictate the game and sort of play at their pace and play it in the kind of how they want to, then I don't really think Scotland have anything to be afraid of. Like, they've beaten this team 3 times in a row at home. And I think that kind of 8, 9, 10 access for France is obviously unbelievable. I don't know. I feel like that pack is really, really big.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's kind of the world-class pack that everyone says it is.
I'm kind of the same. Like, I think they've got, like, Olivon, Audrey, to be fair, Leroux and Willemse have been excellent this tournament. Phillips is the biggest man alive.
He's so big. But the thing is, you know, in the pre-World Cup games, the one away where the French pack just kind of, it was like throwing 130 kg monsters at the Scottish back, a Scottish defensive line, and we just like couldn't handle it, right?
Yeah,
and they just got momentum and they kind of got quick ball and, you know, ended up winning kind of 30-3. It's like that Scottish pack has to like cut that off early.
Yeah,
can't let that keep going, because then once they get a bit of quick ball, then you've got, you said, Dupont and Entermac, who will just like
yeah.
And I think as well with people, when you, the thing is, like, obviously I haven't talked about Vakatawa, Thomas, Bottier, Fiku. I do think they're all really, really good players, but I think they're really good players when it's going well for them.
Yeah. And I think this French team hasn't been tested yet, sort of coming from behind.
Yes.
So if Scotland can, as you say, sort of just impose themselves in that first 20 minutes and just like keep the scoreboard ticking over.
Yeah.
Be happy with like 6-3 after 20 minutes or something. France start to doubt themselves. And I actually think I might not even get to this point, but I think the French bench has been one of their weaknesses so far.
Yeah.
Particularly in the front row. Mm. They've got like exciting players like Demba Bamba, but he can't scrummage. Against England, came on, got absolutely killed.
Do you have Cam O'Shea?
Oh, Shea, yeah. He's pretty terrifying.
He is horrible.
Yeah, we got like Fraser Brown or Stuart McInally. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's hard to tell, because I still don't know what kind of French team you're going to get. I still just don't quite know what Scotland are trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen yet sort of, maybe to be fair, the first 10-15 minutes of that Ireland game when we had a bit of ball, that's the first time we've sort of seen Scotland execute and have a strategy and attack.
If they've got, because the whole thing about Chris Harris was that, and I think this is more a narrative that people have created rather than potentially the actual reason, but that the rationale was that they're bringing in Chris Harris to kind of, as a defensive option. You're picking Chris Harris to kind of manage Italy's game rather than kind of, I don't know, create our own.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, you've now got Vakatawa, who's a massive step up from two weeks ago. So it would be surprising if Chris Harris doesn't start, I would say, especially because Hugh Jones started at the weekend and, you know, defensively didn't put in a great shift, right?
Was Hutchinson playing for Northampton?
Yeah, he played at 12.
Yeah. And the only one was Matt Scott, who Edinburgh don't seem to make it clear whether a player is out of the squad for injury or because they're in the Scotland squad. So it just said he was out of the squad without giving any clarification for why. So that, I mean, Matt Scott and Sam Johnson obviously did play 13 in the first. Did they start the Ireland game at the World Cup? Was it Duncan Taylor 12, Sam Johnson 13? Or was it the other way around?
I think it's the other way around.
Or was it?
I think Johnson's only played 12 for Scotland.
Yeah.
But Johnson's kind of become like, everyone says that Chris Harris is the defensive player. I think Johnson's used in a very defensive way.
Yeah.
I think most of his job seems to be revolving around hitting it up in the first phase. And I get that. You want to get a platform and everything, but I think he is a good passer and he can cut some nice lines. I think in attack we're being a bit too conservative, but maybe that's the way that Tenzin wants to play things.
I just don't feel like we've got the team to play conservative and win against France.
No, exactly. We don't want to grind it out. I think we want to...
Do you know what the weather...
I was just checking. It's like 8 degrees and a little bit of rain, it looks like.
So, yeah. Edinburgh in March.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's not too bad, I suppose.
Yeah, that's okay.
So what do you think? What do you think then, Matt? Give it to me.
Just part of me can see Scotland clicking a bit and see Hastings at home having his kind of like defining Scotland
moment.
Performance. Yeah. But then part of me thinks that, you know what, we haven't played well in this tournament really overall. I think overall I give this tournament like a 5 or 6 out of 10. Even Italy was 6, 6.5.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's something not quite right in the camp at the moment. So France on the way to Grand Slam playing really well. I think France will win by 8.
Yeah.
Do you think that Ireland was the best performance of the Six Nations?
Probably.
Yeah.
On account
and
of
it
the
still
fact
wasn't
the
very good.
On account of the fact that the England game's essentially
yeah,
right
you write
off.
That off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
Watching the Ireland game was painful.
Yeah.
I don't think we fronted up well, but our execution was appalling.
Maybe I was just quite pissed. I really liked the game.
I mean, I think you're right. I think sort of we did like eight or nine out of 10 of the steps to beat Ireland correctly, but then like the final pass or the little mistake or whatever it is, we just taking
the points.
We just fucked it. Yeah.
Fair. No, I think I'm probably in line with in Matt and say that I think probably backing sort of France to win maybe by like 10. But I do think that that'll be probably the same gap at halftime and full time. Similar to a lot of what France's games have been like, I think they're going to come out of the blocks super, super quick. I think they might end up being like 12-0 or 12-3 up at halftime, and we'll kind of be edging back, but they'll just always manage to kind of keep clawing away from us.
Yeah.
We've got France. Bookies have got France as 6-point favourites.
Yeah.
Which sounds about right.
It does sound about right.
I think that's probably pretty fair. Even with Finn and Johnny Beattie dialing into a wee conference call to give them some detail about France.
I was trying to think, like, what could Finn and Johnny Beattie, what information can they give?
Finn's going to be like Teddy Thomas really quick. Like, he is decent. You should look out for this lad. You might not have heard of him. He's really good.
But there is even stuff like, it's like, oh, Teddy Thomas can be a bit like, I don't know, frail or like, brittle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, we all know that, right? I don't know. Maybe there is.
Maybe the analysis goes a bit deeper than that.
But because also, I feel like the only players that he can give a deep analysis of are players he currently plays with.
And there's actually not that many in the...
Yeah, and also...
There's like Bernard Leroux, Thomas, Shat.
Kamosha. And they're going to be like, stop saying shit about us. We literally like, play together.
Yeah, but I think it would be the same if Finn Russell was playing. They'd be tapping up. Like, yeah, you're playing for France. You don't give a shit about like taking Finn Russell's head off if you're Kamil Shah.
Yeah, I guess so.
No way.
No, fair.
But yeah, so I think...
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think we're going to lose.
if we lose, then there's no chance that we're winning at Millennium.
What?
Wales have got so many injuries there.
Yeah, but...
Wales are absolutely fucked.
Yeah, but we're terrible.
I think we're going to lose to France. We're going to beat Wales at Millennium.
No way. No.
Well, none of us are going to the match at Murrayfield. But Matt, you're having us over for a wee late lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
What's late on the lunch. Menu?
I haven't really decided yet.
I thought you said pork shoulder.
Yeah, I could do a pork shoulder if you want. I've never actually made one before, so...
I mean, I'll have a pork shoulder. I'm playing squash at 6:40, so...
6:40?
So make sure it's
why 6:40?
Like an earlier. That's just how they struck his 40-minute sessions.
In the evening?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you meant in the morning. I was like, why?
So
it's
I'm
a Sunday.
I need my pork shoulder.
Yeah.
God, pork shoulder and a few pints swilling around.
I know. Bundering on the squash court.
Locked in a little squash court. Jesus.
Yeah.
And if Scotland win as well, more than a few.
Yeah, we're more than a few tins if Scotland win. We're not going to work. Everyone's self-isolating on Monday. Here we go. Right, we'll be back next week to talk about that Scotland win and preview our first win at the Millennium Stadium in over a decade. All the best. We'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.